So, Michael Collins, I'm always fascinated by where the hell you are on planet Earth and who you're with. So where are you and what's happening?
Okay, right now I am in the media center, right off of the 18th green at the Ritz-Carlton Golf Club in Orlando as the week of the PNC Championship gets underway.
Michael Collins was a professional golf caddy for 10 years and is now the host of America's Caddy on ESPN+.
And I am in the media center with one other human being, and that's Mark Williams from the PGA Tour. And so we're kind of sharing stories. And ironically, his desk is right by a copier, and then there's a vent for air conditioning that Mark has now called his escape pod. So since Tiger Woods said, made the announcement that he's going to play late, of course, he makes the announcement after the deadline to get your media credentials has passed. So Mark is the guy who has to deal with the 27,000 people swearing that they are writers for Horse and Hound magazine that now need to come here and get inside the ropes. So when 38 people walk in that no one's ever seen before, he's just going to move the copier and jump down the escape hatch.
Yeah, it feels like you should probably make sure that that copier, which I didn't really know was still a thing in 2021, also isn't just a secret container for a journalist who was also late in applying for this credential. Like, are there people in there already just like waiting you guys out?
I didn't think about that. Hey, Mark, Pablo said you should check the copier because people might be hiding in there. That was the way
you... A real Ocean's 11 scenario, Michael Collins.
It's straight Ocean's 11. That's true, man. It's awesome.
As elaborately constructed surprises go, nobody saw Tiger Woods playing golf in 2021. Not after that horrific career-threatening car accident back in April. Not in his mid-40s. And certainly not alongside his 12-year-old son, by now a viral celebrity in his own right, Charlie Woods. So today, Michael Collins takes us down to Florida to explain what exactly Tiger Woods is doing and why we should all be thrilled that Steph Curry refused one specific piece of unsolicited advice. I'm Pablo Torre. It's Thursday, December 16th. This is ESPN Daily. So hold on, though, because the PNC Championship, before we get into the Tiger of it all, like, what is this thing? Because I, as a casual golf fan, didn't really know much about it. What makes it different? What makes it so particular even before, you know, the invasion of the global media for Tiger and Charlie Woods?
This is basically a fun event that was originally called the Father-Son. But now has morphed into something even more because, you know, guys like Rory McIlroy played with his dad. And this year, Nelly Korda is playing with her dad. Bubba Watson is playing with his father-in-law. So it's more like it's a parent-child. Jack Nicklaus has played with his son before. So some of the old school, well-known names in golf, this was a fun event where they could play in a competition with their kids. Justin Thomas and his dad are defending champions, but it's kind of not fair because Justin Thomas's dad is a PGA professional. Like, he's a teaching pro. So he kind of is better than other guys that are out there.
So wait, you know? There's a whole lot of my dad could beat up your dad kind of stuff going on.
Yeah. There's trash talking happens out here. Last year, the last time that Tiger and Charlie played, Charlie was leaving notes around the golf course for Justin Thomas.
I don't know. I didn't know anything about Charlie Woods, but you're telling me he's leaving notes that are trash talk letters?
Yeah. Yeah, big time.
Well, apparently at the 13th, young Charlie Woods, who likes to do some trash talking with Justin Thomas, left the Thomases a note.
He saved me. He saved me.
When you say, like, the apple and the tree or the tree and the branch, it's more, when it comes to the Woods family and trash talking, it's a stump. There's no branches or trees. It's just rings in the stump. That's all it is. So Tiger and Charlie were playing in front of JT and his dad, Mike. Like, if on Saturday, Justin made a bogey on a hole, then Charlie, before they would leave, would, like, leave a note somewhere, like, don't hit it in this bunker like you did yesterday, right? Like, he is not afraid at all.
That's next level right there. That is absolute next
and
level.
Look at the look on his Charlie's cap. Face. In case you were wondering, it says, draw hole.
Hey, look, it's all kids that are that age. My 14-year-old trash talked Steph Curry. Like, he hit one three-pointer and was like, hey, Steph, you're next. And then was like, Dad, send him that video. I'm like, dude, let's talk about that.
But the idea, hold on, because if Charlie Woods at age 12 is trash talking Justin Thomas and his dad, are the Thomases responding in kind?
Yeah, this is the thing that's so good and so much fun about an event like this is because last year, I think the last time they played, they were paired with David Duvall and his son. So Duvall's son is a little older than Charlie, but I don't think they made an eagle. Like, if you remember, Charlie made an eagle all on his own.
And then Charlie steps up for the eagle. Look how proud Dad is.
First eagle.
Dad's saying it's his first eagle. Wow, what a moment indeed.
So,
of course he did.
There could have been some trash talk there where it was like, hey, remember when your dad was world number one for like 27 minutes? And then my dad took it back? That's kind of like my eagle I just made, right? You know, I don't think that it goes like too far over the top or whatever, but it's still like to watch children of people at that level also be able to trash talk at the same level as their parents. You don't necessarily expect it at first.
The whole mini me aspect of Charlie and Tiger, Michael, for people who haven't seen the videos
from the PGA Tour. Yeah.
How would you begin to explain the resemblance between these two people?
So if you haven't checked it on Twitter or Instagram, go on ESPN or the PGA Tour's Twitter account. They made a video that's like 2 minutes long, basically showing Tiger all of Charlie's mannerisms that are the exact same mannerisms as Tiger.
So for the people who have not seen this video, what are the mannerisms that Charlie and Tiger are replicating here? What is seen in terms of the little quirks?
Yes, so when Tiger stands off to the side of a green, if he still has to putt, he leans on his putter and he puts his hand on his hip, but he kind of closes his fist and his thumb points in a way that wouldn't be a normal way to stand. So he doesn't like stand just hand on his hip with his hand open. It's a closed fist kind of, and Charlie stands the exact same way. With the way his feet are planted, it's the same. And another one then is after they hit a shot, the club twirl is at the exact same moment in the shot. So like every guy twirls the club at a different point of where the ball is in the shot. So some, let's say you hit a golf shot and the ball's off the club face and at the apex of where the ball is before it starts coming down towards the green or coming down towards the fairway, some guys will spin the club there. Some guys wait until it hits the ground and then they spin the club. Charlie and Tiger spin the club at the exact same moment and in the exact same direction. And of course, the big one is the fist pump. When you see Tiger do his side fist pump, like throwing a right cross.
Punching the universe. Yes.
Yeah. Punching the universe. Charlie last year, when he made two big putts for him. And he literally, when they put it side by side and do a split screen of Tiger doing the side punch with the leg coming up in the air and Charlie doing it, literally you could meld the two of them together. And it looks like, oh, yeah, we just shrunk him down and lightened him up just a little bit. That's all. Oh, yeah, and gave him hair. That's what it looks like. That's the other thing. I don't care. I'm going to be like, you know, the one thing they forgot to do in the hospital to you, Tiger, was shave that head. Come on, man. Give it up. Stop it.
Tiger Woods is not ready, Michael Collins, to come home. He's not ready.
I know. I don't know what is it going to take, dude? It's time. It's time to let go. We'll be playing the Disney movie Frozen. Let it go. Let it go.
Remarkable now that you sing for me here that, like, for as much as Tiger Woods clearly took from Michael Jordan, the bald head never inspired
him. Yes. I don't, maybe he just keeps talking to Kevin Durant.
Mm, like, yeah.
I don't know what you're talking about, man. It's fine. You know what? If there was one thing maybe that I could get Tiger, you know, there are those people at Christmas that are impossible to buy because they have everything. If you could find the spray-on hair, that's what I would give Tiger. Here, if you're not going to give it up, spray this on your head. You know what I mean? Here you go. No one could even tell. Don't sweat.
No, no. You're ghostwriting trash talk notes for the Thomas family at this point, Michael.
That is true. But I don't know. How would you trash talk Charlie?
I'm afraid of him, man. I don't know if I've ever been more intimidated by a 12-year-old who I've never met before than Charlie Woods.
Yeah, I mean, I think from what Tiger said, he just recently broke 80.
What?
So he shot like 79 already a couple of times. Yeah. And he is rated outside. You know, this is the funny thing. So before everyone goes too crazy, everybody take a deep breath. Like when people are like, oh man, here he comes. We're going to see this kid on the PGA Tour. Relax. Like he's ranked outside the top 100 in Florida, not the country. But for his age group, he's outside the top 100 in Florida. And it's partly on the parents. The parents get so over-focused on dialing that child in to being the best that the kids burn out by the time they're 18 or 19 and they lose the love of the game. Let the kid love the game and know when to push and when to push,
well,
to pull
I,
back.
I was going to say, I wonder, because Tiger was the exception that proves the rule, right? The guy who should have been ground down to dust, should have been burnt out by the time he had hit puberty, because the way he was raised, very famously, was that cautionary tale as well as a success story. And I just wonder, do you have a sense of how Tiger is parenting Charlie if that's the backdrop of his own upbringing?
I don't necessarily think he's pushing Charlie and having him grind. He's from the conversations that we've had, you know, about stuff. My youngest son at a very young age was extremely gifted at chess. And so, you know, once he didn't enjoy the competition part of it, I didn't force him to keep doing it. And, you know, I think Tiger's a parent kind of like that, where he loves the fact that Charlie loves the competition. I don't think he's pushing him like, okay, now it's Monday at 9 a.m., you got to get up and, you know, or Saturday at 9 a.m., we've already been up for 4 hours and we've been in the gym and we've hit balls for an hour already, right? Now we're going to go out and play 36. I don't see Tiger doing something like that.
So, Michael, up next, I need you to explain how Tiger's body got to this point and what you do expect to see from him on the course.
Vivid Seats wants to get you to the games you love this spring. Experience every pitch, assist, and game-winning shot live and in person. And the best part? Each transaction is a step toward a free 11th ticket with Vivid Seats rewards. Score unbeatable perks like free tickets, surprise seat upgrades, and annual birthday deals. As the official ticketing partner of ESPN, Vivid Seats is offering you $20 off your first $200 ticket purchase with code DAILY. That's code DAILY. Visit VividSeats.com or download the app today. Vivid Seats. Experience it live.
So, Michael, it's also worth just setting the scene here for Tiger himself. This is more than just this fun family event. This is his first return to the golf course after that accident on February 23rd, a horrific car accident that made everybody wonder, is this the end of Tiger Woods? What have you seen and what have you understood about how the recovery has all been going since then?
My understanding is Tiger has got to be a cyborg, because if you would have told me on February 26th, 27th, that he was going to play in this event, I may have lost my house, my car, maybe even I would have bet my family if you would have let me.
The accident happened around 7:15 this morning south of Los Angeles near Rancho Palos Verdes. We're told pro golfer Tiger Woods was driving this SUV and was the only person in the vehicle when it somehow lost control, rolled, and ended up on its side. He was taken by ambulance to a hospital where his agent tells Golf Digest that Woods is now in surgery for multiple leg injuries.
Just because of the orthopedic surgeons that I talked to, two separate ones that didn't know one another and kind of had a little bit of an understanding of the surgery and whatnot, and then not even the surgery, but the rehab process that Tiger was going to have to go through. Now, Tiger being Tiger, he's never not beaten whatever the estimate is. So when they say, you know, it's going to be a year before he can do this, then within 10 months, he's doing it. It just is the nature of who Tiger Woods is. And so then he does his presser and, you know, puts out the gleam out there. You know, well, I've swung a golf club and, you know, I can ride around in a golf cart. And you think, well, okay, well, that's really even more promising than to kind of hear something like that. And then the video gets leaked of him on the back of the range swinging a 3-wood. And you go, wait a minute. Like, he was talking about, oh, I can't hit it past the front tees and, oh, poor me. I keep forgetting that for Tiger Woods, if he hit a 3-wood 270 yards, he's going to be like, oh, man, look, I don't have my speed back. Bruh, come on, man.
Wait, did it feel to you, Michael, like gamesmanship
yes.
then? Already? Was that gamesmanship?
Yes. When it comes to Tiger Woods, you know, and I'll be the first to admit, I always forget that too. I always forget that he always like does the all shucks poor me stuff when it comes to answering questions about how close he is. So when he said, hey, I'm going to play, and you go, wait a minute, he's playing? And then you do a little digging, you're like, oh, he gets a golf cart. So Tiger's going to play 54 holes. Even though he's even in a golf cart, like, that's a lot of golf to be playing.
I want to clarify a couple of things here. But the injury that Tiger suffered, how would you describe what actually did happen to him for people who aren't familiar with just like what he is coming back from here?
The starting point is this. Tiger had 10 surgeries before, right? He had 5 surgeries on his back and 5 surgeries on his left leg. So we're going to start there. And you're pinned in this car with bone exposed. The bone had broken through the skin. And one of the bones was found on the floor, a small one, which they cleaned up, put back in there. But that's where you're starting. You're starting at a place where there was a few moments when they got him out of the car and to the hospital for the trauma surgery, that there was a shot that leg wasn't coming home with him. And now you're playing 54 holes, even though you're in a golf cart. Just to get to this point is somewhat superhuman. And if it wasn't Tiger Woods, you would go, yeah, that's a lie. The CGI.
Yeah, Michael, look, I don't know of many people who can go from bones on the floor to teeing off about to play 54 holes at age 46, basically. But even crazier is that this injury isn't even to his previously operated on left leg. The accident is all about his right.
But here's the thing. The right leg is the load-bearing leg. So when you, as a right-handed golfer, when you take the club away, where power comes from is in the coil. So a right-handed golfer turns his left shoulder and tries to put it over his right hip. Okay? Just think of that as a yoga move. You go left shoulder over right hip. And the more you can turn that right shoulder behind you and get set on that right leg, the more power you're going to have as that right leg is bent a little bit and now storing power. When all of that releases, you start from the ground up. So you're pushing off with that right foot, unloading all that coil like a twisted rubber band and unloading all of that force and torque then onto the left side. And that's where that knee got tore up. Well, now you're talking about a dude who could have lost his right leg and had all kinds of damage. Like they're having to graft stuff and move and, you know, you're losing all kinds of muscle mass. And now one of your legs looks like a mic stand and the other one, it's like looking at Rafa Nadal's right arm compared to his left arm.
If this is how his body looks heading into the PNC Championship, I am curious what your sense of the long-term forecast is. Because what is Tiger saying about how much he wants to play beyond an event like this? As he puts it, a hit and giggle, which I'd like you to explain also.
So there's no world golf ranking points. Yes, it's a competition. Yes, there's a little purse. They don't count this as like, hey, man, this goes on my resume counting towards my win total, right? So it's all just a fun thing. The fact that he's here playing this week means that at least there's a part of him that is going, let me just see. So he's starting that journey again, even though he tried to play it off like he's not. And that's what this week is going to be for us looking forward. It's going to be, hey, man, if you can look this good now, what do you think you're going to look like in 3 months? Like at the end of March, maybe towards April. I'm going to say this and no one's going to do it, including me. We got to pump the brakes just a little bit. Now, we're not going to do it, okay? And I'll be the first. I'm not going to do it either.
No, my foot is firmly on the golf cart.
There's
cart
no brakes
right
in
now,
this
Mike.
Cart at all. When there's no, when it comes
That's
to
right.
Tiger Woods and playing golf again competitively, there's no brakes in this car. Right? We just don't. We ain't even got an emergency brake to pull. We just hoping we hit a button and maybe a parachute flies out the back.
Many doubted we'd ever see it, but here it is. The return to glory. I never thought we'd see anything that could rival the hug with his father in 1997, but we just did.
That will be the greatest scene in golf forever. Jim Nantz.
And that hug with his children.
But I don't, when I say pump the brakes, like, listen, it's Tiger Woods. So to say, like, well, Augusta and the Masters is just, it's a hard ask because it's not flat. It's one of the hardest walks in golf. It is, other than Maui, the Tournament of Champions, Augusta is the hardest walk on the PGA Tour.
Walking a four-day event, for people who aren't familiar with just, like, what that involves practically, because I think a lot of people, Michael, let's be honest here, right? They listen to people complain about how hard it is to play golf, and they don't have time for any of it. But the physical requirements for a four-day event, if you're the guy who, again, had bones on the floor of his car, like, how would you begin to describe that proposition?
It's real easy, and I'm speaking to all those people that do the eye roll and say that golf isn't athletic. Ask your favorite athlete in whatever sport is your favorite. Because two things. Number one, I'm going to guarantee you that they play golf. And number two, I'm going to guarantee you that they're going to tell you that golf is one of the hardest sports out there to do. You ask a hockey player, NBA player, you ask MLB, NFL, you ask any of those guys, is golf an athlete sport? They'll tell you yes, because. So for a guy like Tiger Woods, now he has to play 18 holes on Wednesday for a pro-am, walking. So you walk 18 holes, you're mentally and physically, like, you ain't just walking on a treadmill. So you're out there, strange positions, swinging, and that's practice. Now you have to do that 72 holes in a row. So you do that four more straight days. 90 holes in 1 week. And you do that over and over and over again 30 times a year at a high level, right? Like NBA playoff level. So when people are like, hey, athletes in golf, whatever, there's a reason on the PGA Tour now, don't see a bunch of fat dudes. Like you used to back in the day, you would see dudes that look like me, and they were smoking cigarettes, too.
Well, I was going to say, Michael, I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe John Daly is playing the tournament that you are about to cover.
I believe we
here.
Are at a yes. tournament where they're riding in carts, too. So I also believe there's no one on the PGA Tour right now that looks like John Daly. The closest, maybe Shane Lowry. That's why Shane loves playing in cold weather, because he don't get cold. He's like an offensive lineman. You know, they got them ice bowls and stuff, and you got the offensive lineman. None of them got a jacket on, and all of them in short sleeves, and look comfortable as hell, too. That's Shane Lowry when it's 50 degrees outside.
Yeah, that is fair. But, Michael, I need you to tell me the truth about all these pro athletes you know who all swear that they're really good at golf after the break.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home some huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
But I love the idea, Michael, of asking athletes who try to be good at golf how hard it is to actually be a sustainably good golfer, how exhausting and how psychologically breaking it can be. You are the guy who can answer this question better than anybody else on this planet. How athletes try to do the thing that you have been covering and teaching forever. So who is overrated as a golfer? Who's underrated as a golfer among the athletes that you happen to spend some real quality time with?
I'm sorry, I got a funny story with the best, the most underrated. A long, long time ago, I think 2009, I played in a golf event that Chris Paul had when he was playing with the Pelicans at TPC New Orleans. And Steph Curry had just come in to the league. Like, he wasn't superstar Steph Curry. I got paired with. So I played 18 holes with Steph.
Yeah, he probably looked 12 years old at this point, too, for the record.
Man, I would have definitely... He was not getting alcohol, even if he had ID. I'd be like, it's just a really good fake. It's a really good fake. But you ain't getting no alcohol from me, partner. It's, of course, ridiculous now. And we laugh about it even now. When we finished playing that round of golf in 2009, I told Steph, look, I know you're playing basketball. Like, you're going to go out and play for Golden State, which is cool. And I know you're good. That's fine. There's a lot of good basketball players. But I could have you ready for the PGA Tour in 8 months.
Just about 100 yards. See coming up over that bunker there. He has some room behind it. Now pull back. Look at that.
Oh, really nice shot for Stephen Curry. He'll have maybe a 10, 12 footer. Really good look at birdie.
Because he was that good. But this, what I'm saying is because he was that good in golf. And it turned out that, like, he played golf and basketball at the same time as a kid, because Dell, they lived on a golf course. So Steph would come home from school and he would go to the golf course first because the basketball court was lit. So, you know, you play golf while the sun's up, and then when the sun goes down, you can't see the golf ball, you go play basketball. So he's a really, really underrated golfer. Even still now, when he played in that Corn Ferry Tour event, Dowie Vandewalt, after Steph shot 73 the first day, 73 or 74, Dowie thought it was a luck, and he was like, he ain't breaking 80 on the second day. And I was like, I'm telling you, he's that good. And he goes, if he breaks 80, I'll eat my golf bag. Dowie Vandewalt has a photo of himself in a fork and a knife with those front nameplate of his golf bag up as he's eating it. Because Steph is really, he is an underrated golfer.
Michael, hold on. I mean, wait, first off, as I continue to stir the pot here, you're saying Steph Curry better than Michael Jordan at golf. Easily, not
even
a question.
It's not even close. Not even close. Yeah, I would take, if it was Steph against Jordan and they was playing 10 times, I'm taking Steph every single time, and I'm going to say Steph probably wins minimum 8. 8 out of 10 times if he has two bad rounds. And then Michael, if MJ plays like crazy good. MJ's good. Don't get it twisted. MJ's a really good golfer.
Well, give me the scouting report on MJ, because you just became a "and I took it personally" meme. You just became a Last Dance meme in your evaluation. But please tell me, how good is he really?
If MJ wants to get some action on him and Steph, well, we can set that up. You know, he's got a spot to play. But see, this is the thing, though. And this is why we would have to set this up. It would have to be at a neutral location. So, like, we couldn't play at MJ's course because he knows it too well. And that's the thing. If you want to find out how good somebody is, I don't care how you play at your course. Let me see if your game travels. And that's where guys separate themselves. So Jordan is good. Steph is better. And I'm talking about, like, if you just drop them on a random golf course they've never been to before, I'm taking Steph. Jordan is good, though. He's really good. I would take Jordan over...
I mean, obviously Barkley. Oh, like, we can write that off clearly.
Yeah.
I mean...
But Charles is a little underrated, too. You see Charles... He just gets nervous when it comes to TV. When it's a crowd. When there's a lot of people watching, that's when Charles gets a little nervous and the swing gets a little shaky. But if you're just out playing with him and there's no people around, Charles got some game too. Like, he ain't beating Jordan or anything like that, but he can hold his own. He won't embarrass himself on the golf course.
Let me ask it to you this way, Michael, because in your travels around this planet, and you're, I mean, you do scout athletes in terms of like, can they actually play this game? Where have you been and who have you been with recently? Because I know you're like filming your show, America's Caddy at ESPN Plus. This is the name dropping phase of the program, Michael. Who the hell have you been? Who have you been big timing it with?
I normally see, this is funny. You're the one that's like, hey, I need you to name drop.
That's
where everybody else is like, hey man, where you been? I was out playing. Yeah, with who? And then I say their name, like, oh, name dropper. I'm like, you asked.
No, this is journalistic transparency.
Okay.
Michael Collins.
All right. So the first two episodes of America's Caddy coming out the second season. I was in Maui and I played Kapalua with Ken Griffey Jr.
Of course you did. Sure.
Let's just say he hung out the whole time that I was in Maui, which was bananas and awesome. And then last week or a week and a half ago, episode two is based on the Waste Management Phoenix Open. And I played the 16th hole with Chris Paul, who hadn't swung a golf club in over a year. And when I say like he has a serious golf addiction, but he hadn't swung a golf club in over a year because of two things. One, the pandemic, and two, because like he's the head of the Players Association too. And so he didn't want to be out there, you know, playing golf when everybody was in a bubble. And rightly so. You know, he was doing a grown-up decision. So he hadn't swung a club in over a year. And we had, when I say we had a blast together, and I may have re-sparked that golf bug, maybe really bad.
Well, this is a problem with you, Michael, because I'm not realizing what you've been trying to do here. You tried to get Chris Paul to quit playing basketball and play golf. You just admitted earlier, I've just now realized, you tried to get Steph Curry years ago to switch sports.
I didn't try to get Chris to
quit playing basketball. If you were successful, Michael Collins.
I didn't try to get Chris Paul to quit playing basketball. But I will admit that I did just throw it out there to Steph. Hey, if you don't really want to play basketball, I can get you ready to play golf, which... I might tweet him that later this week. You know, once everything calms down a little bit, I might just, you know, put it out there for him, just because I know he'll laugh, because we still laugh about it today. Like, hey, man, if that basketball thing doesn't work out, man, there's still golf.
Yeah, Michael Collins, the man who almost kept Steph Curry from becoming the greatest shooter of all time. Thank you for hitting giggling with us on ESPN.
Anytime,
Day.
Man. It's always fun.
And for more Michael Collins, you can go watch the premiere of Season 2 of America's Caddy on January 5th, only on ESPN+. I'm Pablo Torre. This has been ESPN Daily. I'll talk to you tomorrow.